next on BYUSN. It's game day for Cougar football as they take on SMU later tonight. How confident are we that BYU will beat the Ponies? Heisman Trophy winner and ESPN analyst Andre Ware will join us to preview the matchup. What does he think BYU has to do to pull off the upset?
We all welcome Miracle Bowl hero Clay Brown to the show and reminisce on his Hail Mary catch to seal BYU's extraordinary win over the Mustangs in 1980. Plus, BYU head basketball coach Kevin Young in studio as our guest picker in week two of Big 12 Pick'em. Let's go!
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Sports Nation Outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is game day, baby. Friday, September 6th, week two, BYU at SMU. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is Detmer Data Analytics guy Spencer Linton, live from Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas. What's up, Spence?
Jerem, it's only fitting that I'm in Texas as I introduce people to something that is simply known as the Detmer metric, honoring one of our favorite Texans of all time, Ty Detmer. Now, an account on X called Sickos Committee released their first Detmer rankings, which they have created to rate quarterbacks that, quote-unquote, love to sling it. Sickos posted, "We named the metric after BYU quarterback Ty Detmer, who in the 1990s, or in 1990 specifically, went 361 for 562 passing, 5,188 yards, 41 touchdowns, 28 picks." And then there's an acronym. Detmer stands for Downfield Eventful Throwing Metric Encouraging and Ripping It. And Ty Detmer certainly did that. So let's go, Texas. Let's go, Ty. And hopefully we see some guys that are pushing the metrics in the Detmer metric tonight here at Gerald J. Ford Stadium.
Aaron Roderick gets the shakes when he looks at those numbers, though. He's like, 28 picks. Oh, my gosh. It was a different era. BYU trying to take care of the rock a little more, way more on turnover margin and all that coming up. BYU and SMU, wait. Let's get after it. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
SMU's no joke, though. You got to come prepared. This is a game where, if you're not careful, you're not coming to play, they can gash you.
Throws to the goal line. Touchdown, Matavatasse!
Next up, the Cougars will travel to take on SMU on the road.
Game season number 9 begins just fine.
The Dr. Seuss? No, that's Gregor Bell. It's game day for BYU football. Cougars and Mustangs tonight at 7 Eastern on ESPN2 and BYU Radio. SMU currently favored by 11.5. That went back up from 10.5, by the way. As we discussed at length this week, ESPN's Football Power Index giving BYU a measly 21% chance to win. So, Spencer, do you believe that BYU will win at SMU tonight?
Straight up, I do. And I am basing this take a little bit on history, because BYU over the years, specifically in the Satake era, have performed well early in the season. Then you throw in the idea that BYU is not going to be a good football team this year, according to the general college football public. Expectations super low. Talked to a few guys and coaches, specifically in the hotel, who said, "We're still tired of everyone not expecting much from us, so we're ready to show up tonight and kick some butt and be physical and take our game to them." So, yes, the rhetoric remains, even though BYU was pretty good against Southern Illinois and showed us some positive things. They know that they are the clear underdog, that they are an 11.5-point underdog. They don't like it. I'm buying into that added motivation that BYU has a point to prove. They're on a mission tonight, and they believe that they can play physically, if not even more physical than SMU, who's going to be really good on the defensive line. We know that they have a ton of talent in the skill positions. BYU's on a mission tonight. So, yeah, I'm buying into the history that BYU under Kalani Sitake performs well early in the season on the road. I like that. And again, the chip on the shoulder argument, I know it's used a ton. It's super cliche, but I actually believe it with this specific BYU team as they take on the Mustangs tonight. Do you believe, Jerem Jordan, that BYU is going to win this game in Dallas tonight?
I do. I think the Doritos principle, the chip on the shoulder, is in play. I like what you talked about. SMU is certainly skilled. This is the first real big test for BYU this season. But now they actually get to show it. And they're a big dog. FPI doesn't give them a good chance, although NCAAinsiders.com, we talked about, gives BYU a 50.3% chance there. You like the history, as we can see, BYU 4-0 all time. We'll get into that a little bit later. You mentioned the defensive line for SMU. Transfers from Georgia, Texas Tech, two from Miami, Arkansas, West Virginia. They can certainly get after BYU. Can BYU establish the run? Can BYU check some of these boxes, as we'll get into the keys in a minute, of winning principles, take care of the football, and so on and so forth? But it's a game that BYU can win. Both you and I preseason said, hey, 7-5, we think BYU is going 3-0 in non-conference. We both called this upset. We work for BYU. Obviously, we want BYU to win here. This would be a nice win in BYU, a nice feather in BYU's cap early, gain some confidence, validate the work and continuity that they feel they have. Let's see what BYU can do. Okay, to win this game, give me three keys for BYU to upset SMU.
Yeah, let's get into the whys and not just, well, BYU's historically been good early in the season. The specifics are as follows, and it begins with turnover margin.
Amen.
If BYU can win the turnover margin, especially in a hostile environment, on the road, and create some momentum that way, it would be huge. At least be even in that regard. What BYU certainly cannot do on the road is lose the turnover margin, because their chances of winning the game go down exponentially in that regard. And certainly in their current five-game losing streak, they are a combined -5 in that regard. I feel like they have to, at worst, be even in the turnover margin. Also, SMU likes to move fast. This is a very, very up-tempo team, and they like to score in a hurry and really pour on pressure that way. So BYU is going to need to control time of possession. You want to know why Nevada was so successful in the first three quarters of their season opener against SMU? Because they had long, sustained, physical drives. They controlled the time of possession. This is a winning element for BYU if the Cougars can do that. And then why not start fast for BYU? When the Cougars score a touchdown first and they score early, I'm trying to remember the specific number that Greg Rebell put out, but I think it's like a 90-plus win percentage.
It's something crazy,
in the Satake era when BYU scores an early touchdown to take a lead. So start fast. Find a way to just build some momentum early in this game and put SMU on their heels. Those are my three keys to BYU upsetting SMU here tonight in Dallas. What do you have, Jerem?
I knew you'd save turnover margins, so I did three other ones because I agree. BYU 6-0 since the start of 2023 when they win the margin. Not even. Got to win that margin. So we'll see what BYU can do. Okay, number one, run game's got to work. TJ Woods told us that 4.0 yards per carry is the goal. They've got to be able to get that working. If they do, now the play action pass can get down the field. You can be explosive. You can use those good receivers with Chase Roberts, Darius Lasser back in this game, JoJo Phillips and company. Number two, third downs. After the third quarter, when Nevada was up 24-13 on SMU in week zero, Nevada was 1 of 7 on third down. Nevada was 7 of 14. You have to dominate third down. And then number three, control the run. When Nevada was up, after three quarters, SMU had run the ball 20 times for 33 yards. They did not run it effectively. So against Houston Christian, they pumped some of the numbers. So they look good, but Kevin Jennings, 9.7 yards per carry, the backup quarterback, or number two. Preston Stone, 8.5 yards per carry. He's not a big runner, but he ran successfully in these two games. Breshard Smith leads the team at 8.5 yards per carry. There are three dudes that look like Luke Staley early on. Oof. In the yards per carry. You've got to be able to control the run game of SMU. If you force them into slowing down a touch and third and six or longer, these third and longs, perhaps you can get them behind the chains, get off the field, get the offense back on the field, and then you need to dominate the run game. Those are my keys. When you said time of possession, I like that too. I think that's related to the run game. Reminded me of Doctor Strange when he said he's got the time machine. He's like, Dormammu, I've come to bargain. BYU coming to bargain, hopefully, with a run game where they can slow things down and control the pace of this game.
If BYU can just be positive 5 or 6 minutes in time of possession, I think it would do
wonders
for their opportunity. And yes, the things that you brought up correlate. Certainly the run game. If BYU is going to have that long, physically exhausting drive to just wear down SMU, the run game is at the heart of that for sure. And I'm excited to see what BYU's pass protection on the other side of the ball can do against SMU's defensive front as the Cougars look to score big. We said earlier in the week that BYU probably needs to get to 30-plus in the points category to feel confident about beating a high-scoring team, and they got to hold the Mustangs maybe to 28 or fewer. I don't think that's a super hot take. It is a challenge for sure. But if BYU can keep SMU to 28 or fewer, and controlling time of possession would be a big part of that, then they're going to be in great position to sneak away at 2-0 and then head to Laramie next week to try and wrap up an undefeated non-conference scenario.
Let's see what kind of crowd's there, too. Only 27,000 for Houston Christian. I was unimpressed, frankly, with that from SMU fans. Let's see if BYU fans can't fill the upper bowl there at Ford Stadium.
Tickets are cheap. This is the call out. If you're on the fence and you're somewhere within a four-hour radius and could end up in Dallas tonight, buy a ticket. Wear white, BYU being the all-white with the navy lids. It's going to be awesome. The Cougars and their fans will have a presence, and they will be felt tonight. Okay, Jerem, my final question here as we look at BYU and SMU, who will play a regular season game for the first time in 27 years, by the way. This is the first time BYU has played in this specific stadium, which was constructed and dedicated in the year 2000. Will tonight's game be decided on the last play of the game? Because this has had a flair of the dramatic. So what do you think? Is it going to come down to the final play, Jerem?
What if it does? That'd be wild. 1980 Holiday Bowl. We call it the Miracle Bowl around here. SMU calls it the We Don't Want to Talk About It Bowl, probably. 1996, BYU blew out SMU. They were in the WAC together. 97, that's a walk-off winner. Brian McKenzie, by the way, Kalani Sitake blocking on that play. And then in 2022 in the New Mexico Bowl, Jacob Robinson stops a two-point conversion. What in the world? Three of the four meetings have come down to almost the last play? That'd be crazy. I don't see it happening again, but hey, why not? Why not four out of five? And I love me some Blue and White Sports Network, Sports West, KSL highlights from 1997 here. Good stuff. Kalani Fifita Sitake.
I just love Randy Rosenblum's call, the old sports guy. And Brian McKenzie rumbles into the end zone.
Was he working for
Cougar
SNL
winner
as well? And now your host, Kalani Sitake.
It kind of sounds like that. Oh, good stuff. I don't know if it's going to come down to the final play, but this is certainly a scenario that it feels like it wouldn't be a shocker if it did,
right?
Whether it's BYU or SMU. Maybe there is a determining play. Maybe someone's up three late, or it's a seven-point game, kind of like we saw with the Chiefs and the Ravens last night, and it is down to the final play. Don't be surprised if that's the case, because unlike our friends in the desert, I feel like these two teams are very evenly matched, and I don't think it should be an 11-point line. I feel like it should be closer to, you know, six or seven at the most, maybe even four or five. But these teams are evenly matched for sure.
Put SMU by 21. Just get the motivation out there for BYU. Okay, Kingsley Suamatia started at left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great game last night to open the NFL season with the Baltimore Ravens. It's literally a game of inches. What do you think of Kingsley Suamatia's performance in his debut in the NFL?
Well, first of all, I thought it was really cool that he was spotlighted on the broadcast and that he has been trusted to protect Patrick Mahomes' blindside as a true rookie. Outstanding coverage and exposure for Kingsley and repping BYU. Really fun to watch him do his thing. Yeah, he's going to have a couple of missteps, and he gave up a sack and there was a holding penalty. But you know what? All veterans have those things happen a lot during the regular season. But it was primarily positive for Kingsley. And he got some love on social media as well. Chase Daniel was specifically pointing out that, understated as it might have been, Kingsley deserves some real credit to step into a high-pressure situation. How many people were watching that game? The NFL season opener, Chiefs-Ravens. And he performed very well. I thought that was super cool to watch Kingsley do his thing.
Yeah, one sack allowed, two pressures, one holding penalty. So, you know, there's some room for improvement, but still, that's not terrible. But on Xavier Worthy, who BYU saw firsthand against Texas return a punt for a touchdown last year, his first touch was a 21-yard touchdown. Kingsley Suamataia had his initial block, and then he's way down the field inside the five for another ceiling block to help Xavier Worthy get in there. Kingsley can move around. It's awesome. My only question is, why did BYU stink at running the ball last year again when they had the starting left tackle on the Chiefs? on the field. I don't know what happened with the starting lineup, O-line last year, but Kingsley's awesome. He's doing great. I'm super excited for him. We do want to acknowledge that Kyle Van Noy left the game last night with an eye injury, which come to find out, it's an orbital fracture. So best wishes to Kyle, because he could be out for a minute. That's a bummer in week one. He's a tough cookie, but that's a tough injury. Basically right above your eye, right? Like where your eyebrow is. So best wishes to Kyle. Mm.
As far as the offensive line for BYU goes last year, coaching matters and accountability matters, and we believe that both of those things are back. Okay, on to the next question. BYU women's volleyball, you called it last night. 3-1 victory over Lipscomb. Fun to watch the Cougars as always. This is a young team, but a confident team. And then BYU women's soccer, fresh off a 2-0 beatdown of Boise State, who was previously unbeaten going into that game in Southfield. Which team will we learn more about this weekend? Is it volleyball or BYU women's soccer, Jerem?
So soccer at number 6, Arkansas. Volleyball hosting number 19, Georgia Tech. I think that soccer, we kind of know they're trying to figure out the offense. They hope to get Aaron Bailey and Allie Fryer back perhaps Saturday. We'll see. They did have some injuries Wednesday that are going to hurt them a little bit. Volleyball is my answer. This is going to be the test. Will BYU be able to stand up to Georgia Tech at home? Last night, BYU got aced 15 times, Spencer. 15. Serve receive was a struggle. Ooh. If BYU passes like they did last night, they're going to lose in 3 to Georgia Tech. They have to pass way better to get their offense, which, by the way, was number 1 in the country as of yesterday at 407, going. So I think it's volleyball.
Isn't serve receive in volleyball the equivalent of running the ball and stopping the run in football? Is
sure.
that a fair comparison,
yeah.
Jerem? I think so, too. And I'm with you. I expect BYU women's volleyball to show up and be motivated after a little bit of shaky play last night against a ranked opponent. It's going to be rocking in the Smith Fieldhouse. But we're going to learn more about that team because this is the first real litmus test for Heather Olmstead's team. I feel like we know what BYU women's soccer is, which is a good team. They're capable. They're scrappy. But they are young, and there definitely is some learning curve. I feel like I know what BYU women's soccer is. I'm not really sure what BYU women's volleyball is, and we will find out a ton when they take on a really good Georgia Tech team. So I agree with you in that regard.
Our question of the day is this. Do you believe that BYU football will win at SMU tonight? Why? Chris_Lundell on Instagram. Yes, I think the defense will slow SMU down. That will certainly be a key. And again, Jay Hill, fully involved this week in the office, healing from two stents put in his heart last week. So we'll see what happens with the BYU defense against SMU. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And it is a game day. We've got you right now for BYU Sports Nation. Loaded show, by the way. Stay with us. We've got some great guests coming up. Clay Brown, Kevin Young, Andre Ware in the next segment. And then at 5 Eastern, BYUSN game day. Cougar pregame live, BYU TV and BYU Radio. And then the game is at 7 Eastern on ESPN2 and BYU Radio. Up next, 1989 Heisman Trophy winner and ESPN college football analyst Andre Ware is on the call tonight. What does he think BYU needs to do to pull off the upset? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Encouraged by what I've seen out of the Cougars so far, but this will be a really good test.
Dealing those road game wins, it's all about your belief.
If BYU beats SMU, I am confident in saying this is a bowl team.
It is a game day in Studio B. I'm Jerem Jordan in Dallas at Gerald J. Ford Stadium. Spencer Linton as BYU Sports Nation continues ahead of BYU and SMU. Our next guest is the 1989 Heisman Trophy winner. He's the analyst for the game on ESPN2 tonight. And he is a fan of Bam Bams. He is the one and only Andre Ware. Welcome to the program, Andre.
Thanks, guys. I'm definitely a fan of Bam Bam. So, Provo, that's a spot I'm dropping my anchor and having some good barbecue.
That's awesome. Cam does it well there. We hope you're in town for BYU Oklahoma State, so we'll see later in the year. Yeah. But we've got a fun one tonight. It's an SMU team that's now Power 4, struggled against Nevada, dominated FCS foe Houston Christian. BYU played well against Southern Illinois. What do you make of this matchup on the surface?
When we looked at this game, it has the potential on paper to be one of the best that we'll have all year. I think they're just so equally matched. They go about their business in totally two different ways, but on paper, it's almost identical. Two talented quarterbacks. Both teams have talented quarterbacks. Wide receivers are plentiful in this game, and then the running game for both teams is going to be extremely critical. So BYU wants to run it behind an experienced offensive line. The strength of SMU's team, though they want to run it, is their receivers. They've got about six that could be number ones at a lot of places, and they spread the ball around. So they keep you guessing defensively. On defense, they'll come after you a little bit. They'll mix some looks. Preston Stone is the starter, obviously, but Kevin Jennings is equally as talented. So they go too deep there and can move it around. And then with BYU, I think Jake Raslov has done a heck of a job of just kind of taking care of the football this year. They put a little bit more on his plate and opened up the playbook to him, and he's responded and had a great performance last week against Southern Illinois.
Andre, a two-quarterback system is, frankly, much maligned. It hasn't worked often for many teams, but SMU feels very confident that they have figured out how to use both of their talented quarterbacks in Preston Stone and Kevin Jennings, who you just referenced. Why do you feel like SMU is an outlier and that it works for them with this two-quarterback system?
Well, I think it works because the two guys know going in that the other's going to play. Preston's going to be the starter. He'll take the first couple of series, and then there's a package for Kevin when he comes in the game as well. And so I think both are just equally as talented. Kevin Jennings, I have a ton of respect for, and I was teasing Rhett, their head coach, this week about keeping him on campus because a lot of people wanted him to enter the transfer portal, and he'd be a starter at a lot of places. He's that talented and that dynamic. But it just seems to work here when both guys kind of buy into it, and that's what you have to have is buy-in from both individuals in order for it to work. That's happening at SMU.
When you look at this matchup and BYU, an 11.5-point dog, which feels like kind of a big number to us, maybe that's based off last year still a little bit, got to prove yourself against FBS, P4 competition. If BYU pulls off the upset, what happened in the game, in your opinion?
I don't know if it's an upset because SMU's never beaten BYU. I don't know how that upset, how Vegas sees this game, but I agree with you. When we talked to Kalani Sitake this week, there was an energy about him that I did not see last year. I haven't seen in years past. He's excited about this football team, is excited to get them to game day and to see what they're going to do. And when a coach feels that way, he knows he's got a good product to put on the field. I think this is a bowl team. I think the schedule makers didn't do them any favors, but I think definitely they can do some things with this schedule. They get by Wyoming next week, and that's a tough game at Wyoming and Laramie. I played there. That's a tough environment to go into and play because that's all that's there. And so they'll be wired and ready for that one. But I think they win this week. They get by Wyoming. They're well on their way to a bowl trip. And I think competing for a Big 12 title at some point, I don't underestimate this team. If they can stay healthy, they're big enough, they're fast enough to hold up in the Big 12. They're playing some good football, and they've got an experienced quarterback now in his second year. So that gives them a chance.
Andre Ware is with us on BYU Sports Nation, Heisman Trophy winner in 1989. Andre, where does each team hold an advantage and a clear advantage over each other tonight? We'll begin with BYU and then have you talk about SMU after that.
Yeah, I think SMU's got to prove that they can get it done in the trenches defensively and with BYU's big experienced offensive line. I know that was kind of a liability last year with a bunch of injuries, having to play a lot of young players. Well, those players have grown up. They've filled out. They still have Connor Pay in the middle, calling things up front for them. So I think this is the advantage for BYU would be the offensive line in the running game if they could get LJ Mark going in the running game. And then for SMU, if they're spreading it around, if they're hitting different receivers, catching you, maybe thinking one way, and then all of a sudden RJ Maryland is up the seam or in the middle of the field, they've got legitimately six playmakers on the outsides and in the slots that can play along with RJ Maryland, their tight end. They can get that going and keep you guessing defensively, then they can be a problem.
What's the vibe for you as a Texas guy with SMU now in a Power 4 conference? I mean, you could say they used to be in a power league before it was the Power 6 and then 5 and now 4. They don't have TV revenue, but they got that They got that money, that 159 mil they raised. Hey, we don't need that TV money. We're good. We got that oil drip. What's the vibe there? Because they didn't have a huge crowd last week. There is support. It's financial. It's maybe not butts in the seats. But now they're in a Power 4 league, but they're all over the country. What's kind of the vibe for you of SMU football now?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a misnomer last weekend because of the opponent that they were playing, Houston Christian. And you know, they don't travel, and then SMU's you may or may not show up for that game. I think this week they'll be there and they'll pack it. The vibe around here is it's very positive. There are a lot of guys, a lot of Cowboy players come to practices, a lot of celebrities, Maverick players come out to see practices. It's kind of the place to be. It's the hip place to be, so to speak, in Dallas. And they've done a nice job of kind of building a fence around Dallas, making it known that even if you go away somewhere else, you always have a home to come back to. And recruits and players, they do that. It's splintered all throughout their roster with guys that are from the Dallas area that have gone other places, Ohio States and Northwesterns, and obviously Miami, because they're sprinkled all over this roster. But they come back home, and they know that. And so that's how Rhett has been able to build this thing, and I think it's sustainable for the foreseeable future.
Andre, we know RJ Maryland is one of the top three tight ends in all of college football. He's a future NFL guy. My question is, how in the world should BYU try and defend him to limit his production tonight?
Yeah, the thing, close the middle of the field. You know, you can't have two high safeties and play cover two against a guy like that, because he's a matchup nightmare with your linebackers. He's going to outrun just about every linebacker. He's going to out-physical a defensive back if you try to put him on him. He's virtually unstoppable. And I was surprised after the game that he had against Nevada. He only had one catch last week, but that's because everybody else was going off and all the concentration was on RJ Maryland. So I think he's somewhere in between 11 catches and obviously the one catch, and they would like to see him be a big, big part of this offense. He is a dynamic weapon that is, as I mentioned, a nightmare matchup for opposing defenses. But I think if you close the field, force him up the seam a little bit more, don't leave the middle of the field open, because he knows how to read defenses. He knows how to get himself open, and he is dynamic when the ball is in his hands.
I think BYU's Sam linebacker Isaiah Glasker could match up with him, 6'5", super athletic. That could be a fun matchup in the middle of the field, as you mentioned. He took over that Nevada game, Maryland, and he was amazing. I want to ask you about something that a few years ago you ID'd before almost anybody else. You said when Zach Wilson, I believe it was a sophomore, you said this is an NFL guy early in that year. What did you see about Zach that you knew would translate to be eventually become the number two pick?
Zach just plays free. And if he can reel in some of that a little bit, I think he's going to be just fine. I still like him as a player. The thing about the NFL, it's got to be the fit. You know, where you go, who are the coaches there, who are you being developed by, and who you're being coached by on a daily basis. And I don't know that was being done in New York. A tremendous amount of pressure in that environment for a young player. But he's got a fresh start in Denver. I think he will probably move on from Denver and then have a chance to start somewhere else. It worked that way for Teddy Bridgewater under Sean Payton in New Orleans. And I look for the same for Zach Wilson. I think he's a talented player that just needs to find the right fit.
Andre, I just want to know when you and Ty Detmer are going to get invited to be in a Heisman House commercial. When is that happening?
And you know, what's crazy is I get asked about that almost daily or weekly. So my son asked me about family. Everybody's asking me about that. I've been in one, and I don't know how the heck you get in another one. I've talked to the right people. I thought in New York at the Heisman announcement this past year, but it didn't happen this summer. So hopefully, fingers crossed that they'll bring the Cougars back and put them in the Heisman House, both Cougars, myself and Ty.
That's what's up. And we kind of look back historically, right, and as these power leagues formed, you look back and you go, oh, the last two kind of non-power schools to get a Heisman were Ty Detmer and Andre Ware. What's the relationship like with Ty as you two went back-to-back Heismans in 89 and 90?
Yeah, he's a good friend, and, you know, we embrace every time we see one another, have a long conversation. I can call Ty if I've got questions and things of that sort about the game, because he's just so sharp. He's a guy that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and just that he's a good friend and a guy that in that fraternity that I call a close friend.
That's awesome, Andre. Best of luck on the call. We look forward to it at 7 Eastern on ESPN2. Thanks for the time.
Thank you guys for having me, and I'm looking for a good, hard-fought football game tonight.
Us as well. Andre Ware of ESPN2 on BYU Sports Nation. Pretty cool to have him talk about Ty and that relationship. And, yeah, they both need to be in a Heisman House commercial coming up. That would be awesome. Hey, check out number 14 women's volleyball taking on number 19 Georgia Tech. Big match for the ladies tomorrow night. ESPN Plus, looking forward to that. Amy Gant, Kenzie Daly, and myself on the call. After the break, we'll look forward to week one of games for Cougars in the NFL. Big matchups, as mentioned, for volleyball and soccer. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B on BYU Sports Nation on this game day. I am Jerem Jordan. Spencer will join us from Dallas in a moment. Huge weekend of BYU sports. Number 14 women's volleyball taking on number 19 Georgia Tech tomorrow night at 9 Eastern time. Women's soccer on the road at number 6 Arkansas. Number 6 women's cross country. I drove by them running through Provo earlier this morning. They are competing as we speak. We'll give you those results when we know. BYU football at SMU tonight. Pregame starting at 5 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. And, of course, week one of Cougars in the NFL. After the break, BYU's most iconic win against SMU, of course, the Miracle Bowl. The hero, Clay Brown, who caught the Hail Mary, will join us after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Provo and Dallas. Jerem Jordan, Spencer Linton. The Miracle Bowl in 1980 is perhaps the most iconic game and play in BYU football history. And the man who caught the Hail Mary now joins us, Clay Brown, ahead of BYU and SMU. Of course, Clay, we had to talk to you as the Cougars take on the Mustangs again. Welcome back to the show.
No, thank you very much.
Let's first start with that play. How often do you think about the play? Does it come up every day? How often are you asked about it? Because it is the greatest play in BYU football history.
Yeah, I don't know that I think about it every day, but it gets brought up to me several times a year. And it's always nice to remember and reminisce. You know, it was a great day for me. It was a great day for BYU. But it was, one of the best days of my life.
What was your reaction to Jim McMahon refusing to punt and basically saying, "You're all quitters if we punt. We're going for it on fourth down"? What do you remember about that sequence of events?
Well, if you'll recall, I was also punter, right? So I was on the field, and Jim was going over to the side, so I didn't get to witness all of that. But I'm going back to punt, and I'm kind of shaking my head, too, that why are we punting? We've got, like, what, 3 or 4 yards to get? We can get 3 or 4 yards. And so I was extremely excited when Jim came running back on the field, and we got to play.
Clay, that was a monster game. You had 5 catches for 155 and 3 touchdowns. Was the Hail Mary even your best play of that game? I'm assuming yes, but you had a lot of great plays.
Well, you know, I did make some plays, I caught the first down on that going for it on fourth. But probably the best catch I had was the very first catch in the first half, where I had to kind of reach behind me and scoop it out from in front of the cornerback, and then ran 60-some yards for the touchdown. I thought that was a very good catch.
Clay, we put that in our top 100 plays a couple of years ago. I'm trying to look we put it at number 20. And you have 2 of the top 20. That, like, people forget about the one-hander behind. I love that you mentioned that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. I just remember looking back, reaching back, looking back, and there's the SMU defender diving, thinking he's going to get the ball, and I popped it up in front of him and went around him, and hey, it worked well.
Clay Brown is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We need to know, at what point when you are down 20 with 4 minutes to go, and then you start to climb back in it, when did you start to believe, oh my gosh, we can actually win this game?
You know, I believed it from the very get-go. I actually had had a play in the previous year's Holiday Bowl, or actually not a play, but my wife at the time had a dream that it was going to come down to the end of the game and I was going to catch a touchdown.
What?
And we were going to win the game. And that went against Indiana. And so it was interesting that I was leaving to get on the bus, and I stepped out of the hotel room for a minute and then just stepped back in and said, hey, you remember that dream you had last year? Maybe this year. And so it started early. It started before the game actually began. And but now there was never a doubt that we were going to make a run for sure.
That's incredible. That mm-hmm. dream came true in an amazing way. And then in 2015, BYU has another miracle with a Hail Mary at Nebraska, which is kind of fun to have these two kind of bookends there. Tell us about that 1980 season, because Jim goes off for 4,000 plus passing yards. He sets all these NCAA records. You guys get, that bowl win. It was disappointing to lose on a missed field goal the year before. What did that 1980 season mean for BYU football and that group?
You know, we'd been to I played in the first three Holiday Bowls, right? And lost the first two. And, we'd been working on trying to get our program on the map, and we were kind of there, but we needed to get over the hump, you know. And it was just an opportunity, and it was a bunch of guys that just wouldn't give up. We weren't the most talented team in the country for sure, but man, we had a bunch of kids with a lot of heart, and nobody ever gave up. We had an incredible leader named Jim McMahon, you know, just to call out LaBelle on fourth down and punting the ball and giving us the opportunity. There was a lot of fight in the dark. And I'm just glad LaBelle was in there.
I'm glad you bring up Jim McMahon, because I think everybody wants to know more about what type of teammate he was and specifically what he did as a leader that helped BYU football so much at that time.
You know, he just had a sense of confidence, and people say he was a little bit cocky. Yeah, you got to be a little bit cocky to play major sports, and especially when you're going to be the leader of a team. But he just had a ultra confidence. He would, you know, you'd go down the field, and he'd throw you the ball, and you're a knucklehead, and you don't catch it, and you're cursing yourself, and you come back to the huddle, and Jim would say, my fault, bad pass. He would take things off of you to let you be better. And so just by his example, he always believed in us, and you know, we believed in him, and we accomplished some great things that year.
Walk us through what you remember about the Hail Mary from the start of your route to the finish.
You know, the start of it was not all that exciting. I knew that I had to get the heck down the field, right? And so I started running, and then I start to look back, and I see the ball go up in the air. And I know that there's some guys behind me, but I just had my eyes fixed on the ball. And, you know, he threw it out of the stadium, I think. It was up that high and came back down, and I just kept running and running and running and reaching and getting to that point, and the last thing, getting my arms up, and then the ball came down into it, I got the catch. Okay, there's a lot of people who wonder if I really caught the ball. Yes, I did catch the ball, but the biggest fight in the world was on the aisle, because I had that ball, and there were three or four of them that were on top of me trying to yank it away, and there was just no way that I was going to let go. And I didn't think it was ever going to end, but I was tucked around that ball and holding on for dear life. And finally, I was able to get up and saw the touchdown sign, and you know the rest.
All right, as far as expectations go tonight for BYU at SMU, Clay, because you are a guy who has a notable moment in this series, what are you expecting tonight from the Cougars in Dallas?
Well, I wouldn't expect anything other than they're going to line up, they're going to strap on their helmets, they're going to get after it, they're going to do their best, they're going to execute, and they're going to play with their hearts. And if you could do those things, and you could be determined, and you're going to have some setbacks, and you're going to come back from them, then, you know, anything is possible.
Clay, it's always great to talk to you. One of the great tight ends in BYU history with the most iconic play in BYU history. Thanks for the time on this, the game day of BYU and SMU.
Okay, thanks for having me. And go Cougs.
Go Cougs. Clay Brown on the program. Wow, I love talking to Clay. What a moment. What a sequence of events there. Some people don't think I caught the ball. I've never thought that there's anyone that didn't think he caught it. He wasn't going to let go of that ball. That's awesome. If you miss any of BYU Sports Nation's acclaimed documentary series, Big Stories, features stories of hope, integrity, perseverance from the Big 12 and beyond, you can always find them on our YouTube channel and on BYUSN.com. We know how well Coach Kevin Young knows basketball, but how well does he know college football? Big 12 Pick'em is next, and he is our guest picker this week. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Spencer Linton with you in Provo and Dallas. Our question of the day: do you believe the BYU win at SMU tonight? Why? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at SL_Harrison83 on X. Defense, they're much improved. A lot of dogs up front. Great talent on the back end. Offense, no turnovers. Cougars win by 9. That would be an extreme cover. That's a cover by 20 points. That would be awesome. Okay, today's Rise and Shout-Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
It goes to Cougs Care, and this is a specific group that is led by BYU alumni and their chair, Curtis Isaac. Every road game that BYU plays, they organize a service project, and in Dallas, they're collecting art and other supplies to donate to a nonprofit that helps special adults around the Dallas area. As always, an outstanding job by the BYU alumni group to make their presence felt.
That's awesome. It's a party with a purpose, and you've seen it in action. You're not just there for football, you're there to help people and help that community specifically. Shout out to all the alumni in Dallas, including one of my best friends, Manti Sua, who got his undergrad at BYU, his MBA at SMU. You know where your allegiances lie, Manti. You better be at that game. Let's go. Okay, it's time now for Big 12 Pick'em. We have a guest picker each week. Jonathan Tavernari came in last week, went 3-3. We both beat him, which is our goal this week with today's guest picker, the head coach of the BYU men's basketball team, Kevin Young. Kevin, what's up, man? How you
what's
doing?
What's up, guys? Going well. How are you guys?
Awesome. We have not traveled around the country as much as you did this week, though. You hit the recruiting trail hard.
Yeah, it was busy. It was busy, but it was good. Got out to see some really important players.
That's awesome. Okay, here's how this goes. We have 7 Big 12 games. We're all going to weigh in. You go first. We begin with game number 1, Kevin. Arkansas at number 16, Oklahoma State. Cowboys favored by 7.5. Who you got?
Let's go Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Yep, let's go Oklahoma State.
Spence, who you got?
I'm with Coach, who looks great in that chair, by the way.
Yes, he does.
You can come in and visit us anytime, Coach. You look like a natural up there. I'm going with Oklahoma State as well. Ollie Gordon II is way too much to handle.
The second, the third, the fourth, all the Ollie Gordons I think could run in this game. Remember Talen Green at Boise State? He is the quarterback now at Arkansas, and he can run for days. But Oklahoma State, I think that run game is too much. Alan Bowman at quarterback, he's been around for like 7 years. He and Cam Rising, I guess. Can we make fun of those old guys, not just the BYU old guys? Game number 2, I go Oklahoma State as well. Game number 2, number 17, Kansas State on the road at Tulane. Wildcats a 9-point favorite.
I got to go Kansas State for this one. Yeah, too much.
A lot of Big 12 love right now, non-conference. We love it, right? The green wave going down. What do you think, Spence?
I'm 2 for 2 with Coach. I'm rolling with Kansas State as well. Look, Willie Fritz isn't at Tulane anymore.
Nope.
He's with Houston. They don't have their great head coach. Kansas State gets the win.
Avery Johnson, a.k.a. Sunshine from Remember the Titans, he's going to be too much. I think he goes for at least 3 touchdowns himself in this one. Okay, game number 3. Number 19, Kansas at Illinois. Jayhawks beat them last season. Who wins this one?
Got to go Kansas. I think Kansas is going to be too much for them.
K, Kansas football used to be the laughingstock of the Big 12. They're legit now. Number 19, they're awesome. Spence, you riding with Jalen Daniels and the Jayhawks?
4.5-point favorite are the Jayhawks, but this is my first upset here. They're on the road.
I think
they're going to face some early adversity. I think the Illini are going to sneak past Kansas here and pull the upset.
I think Kansas wins. I think that run game's too tough with Daniels and Devin Neal from Kansas, so we'll see. Okay, game four, we call it the Caleb Loner game. Baylor playing at number 11, Utah. Caleb Loner scored a touchdown for Utah. That's awesome. In a Big 12 non-conference game because they had already set this up before. So what do you think, Kevin?
This is where my upset comes in. I'm going Baylor taking
them. Oh, Baylor.
Yeah.
You know what? Your first pick of anything Utah on this set, and you pick against them. I love that. Spence, who do you have?
He knows his audience, and I love it. Yes. He's embracing it for sure. I hope he's right, and I hope I'm wrong. I'm actually picking Utah here, but I hope Coach is right.
I know.
I'm with them in that regard, but I think Utah's got too many weapons, and they're going to beat Baylor in Salt Lake City.
I do, too. I'm picking Utah, but can both lose? Can that happen? Iowa State at number 21, Iowa. They call this the Cy-Hawk game.
This one's tough, but I think I got to go Iowa here.
You're going Iowa?
Yeah.
The no offense, all defense, yep. Iowa Hawkeyes, yep. Right? Who you got, Spence?
Yeah, the home team has traditionally, especially in recent years, been very successful in this game. Iowa State on the road. I'm with Coach Young. I'm rolling with the Hawkeyes, even with that less than stellar offense that they've had for so many years.
Iowa's 1-8-9, and Iowa plays, it's called, described as backyard football, but amazing defense. Kirk Ferentz has been there forever. He and Kyle Whittingham, right, the most tenured in college football. I think Iowa State goes into Iowa City and pulls off the upset. I think the Cyclones get it done. So I'm taking Iowa State on this one. Okay, two more games. Colorado at Nebraska. Nebraska is 7-point favorite. This is an old Big 8 rivalry.
Yeah, this, you know, a lot of ties in Nebraska for me. My wife's from Omaha. Shout out to the Huskers on this one. I got to go Nebraska.
Okay, Nebraska. I love it. Spencer, you going with we coming, Coach Prime?
Yeah, I'm not about to pick against Coach's wife. Go Big Red. Let's go. Nebraska, I'm with the Youngs on this. I think the Cornhuskers, they've been sitting on a loss to Colorado all year. They're going to be ultra motivated. Matt Rhule's going to have that crew ready to go. I think Nebraska might run away with this one.
Yeah, I've got Nebraska too. Dylan Raiola is the Patrick Mahomes clone, if you haven't seen this. He looks like him. He's got a similar haircut. He's number 15, kind of plays like him. He's fun to watch. It's hard to win at Nebraska unless you throw a Hail Mary like BYU did in 2015. I've got Nebraska as well. Last but not least, in our super biased opinion, BYU and SMU tonight. How do you think BYU is going to win this game, Kevin?
Oh, man, their electric offense is going to get it done. I'm going BYU all the way here.
BYU all the way. Looked good last week against Southern Illinois. SMU certainly struggled against Nevada, but played well last week. Spence, how does BYU win this game?
Well, again, we went through the three keys. BYU is going to win the turnover margin. They're going to control time of possession. BYU, as an 11.5-point underdog, they pull an upset in Dallas to get to 2-0. By the way, I just thought we need a Cosmo head or something in the studio so that when our celebrity pickers are in the house, they can put it on when they pick BYU, Jerem.
I love that.
We're always going to pick BYU, so we got to figure something out. We both consume an entire cougar tail or something. I don't know. Yeah, I think BYU, obviously, going to win this game. They certainly can win this game. I think the Vegas odds are based off of last year's BYU team and last year's SMU team. This BYU team's better. They really are. And they're going to have to prove it tonight against its P4 non-conference opponent in SMU, who's new to the game. BYU's been in that for a year. I expect BYU fans to show up. Lots of BYU fans in Dallas. It's going to be awesome, and we look forward to that matchup. And, Kevin, what do the next couple of weeks look like for the men's basketball team?
Yeah, man, we're just gearing up for our full practice slate. You know, we got a couple more weeks of kind of limited work, but just trying to get guys in shape and get, you know, a lot of our system installed and just excited.
Okay, do you think you're going to beat Jonathan Tavernari, who went 3-3 last week?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. We'll keep an eye on that. Kevin, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate
thanks, guys.
It.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Kevin Young on the program. Okay, Spence, final thought from Dallas ahead of BYU and SMU coming up tonight.
Well, I do need to add that I think Coach would beat Jonathan Tavernier in a three-point shooting contest.
Ooh.
As well.
Ooh,
as
I
our
see
pick'em
that.
Segment.
Yeah.
So we're throwing that out there. I'm rolling with Coach right there. Looking forward to tonight's game, and that's probably a huge understatement. The litmus test is going to be real for BYU. We're going to find out some things about the Cougars tonight here as well.
Our thanks to today's guests, Andre Ware, Clay Brown, Kevin Young, arguably the greatest show lineup we've ever had of guests. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Spencer, I am Jerem. Shout out to Bill Shefflin, who blocked the punt that set up the Hail Mary in 1980 in the Miracle Bowl. BYUSN Game Day, live at 5 Eastern. Cougar pregame live as well. Out of BYU and SMU, go Cougs!